the Bible, God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, eternal word, speaks to our hearts this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 17. Paul says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken." What? "Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Once again this morning, we are revisiting our church at Corinth. We know that this was really a messed up church. They were messed up in a lot of ways. And Paul, after receiving letters from several of the church leadership about how to deal with these problems, he's actually taking these problems and trying to make right this messed up church. You see, what any messed up church needs, they don't need a watered down word of God. They don't need something that would be ear tickling in their lives. They need to hear the gospel truth for a messed up church. And this morning and next Sunday morning, because of Lord's Supper, I'm going to be talking about the way that this church was messed up concerning the Lord's Supper. And so I'm glad to be back here in 1 Corinthians. I've been missing it, but Brother Josh, I'm glad I'm back here this morning. Somebody asked me last week, said, "Brother Randall, are you getting in the Christmas spirit?" And here's what I said. I said, "I want you to know that the Christmas spirit came into this world over 2,000 years ago when Jesus as a baby was lying in a manger. And then on July the 22nd, 1972, at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, glory, the Christmas spirit came in to my life. And I'm telling you, I want to go with that spirit 365 days a year. Are you with me? Say amen. And so I think coming to Christmas and coming up to the Lord's Supper, we've got to understand that everything about our church is not about me, it's not about you, it's about Jesus Christ. And so the Lord's Supper is in remembrance of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't need a Lord's Supper to remember what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I think about it every day of my life. I praise God every day of my life that I was a hell-bound sinner as a young boy, but Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood that I might have the forgiveness of sins, might have life abundantly. Hey, and I get to go to heaven when I die. Amen. What a joy it is in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. As I begin this message this morning, I want to go back to verse number 17, and I want to say here what he says not in the middle of that verse. He said, "I praise you not." And then at the end of verse number 22, the Apostle Paul also says, "I praise you not." In our text this morning, the Apostle Paul makes one of the most staggering accusations against the Corinthian church. He will tell them they are misusing and abusing the Lord's Supper, that God has disciplined their membership to the point of even sentencing some of them to death. Somebody asked me several years ago, "Preachers, why do you, Brother Randall, take the Lord's Supper so serious?" I take it serious, first of all, because Jesus said, as oft as you do this in remembrance of me. I take it serious because it is the body of Jesus Christ that was hung on a cross for our sins. I take it seriously because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that purges us from our sins. I take it seriously because it is about Jesus Christ who arose from the grave on that third day so that you and I can remember what Christ has done for us. It is serious. It should be serious every day in our life. I want you to know, as I began to look at this church over and over again down through these many months, there were a lot of faithful members. But I want you to know, God has about had a belly full of them. God has looked down in this church and he saw those concerns and not so much the way they are acting out in the world. I mean, I can understand that. Listen, most Christians are not going, here's what I believe, I know for a fact, a lot of Christians are not going to do everything that God has commanded us to do. Are you with me? Say amen. Simply because for a lot of Christians, the attractions and the lures of this world are still pulling them back, keeping them and hindering them from being all that God wants them to be. He's troubled now by the way that they were acting in the church when they were there. Very often, us preachers will rebuke Christians who act one way on Sunday and a different way Monday through Saturday. Well, here Paul says, you Corinthians ain't living right on Sunday either. And so in this text, the Apostle Paul gives us one of the most scathing rebukes you will find anywhere in the entire Word of God. He says, you are so messed up in the way you act in church, you'd have been better off in the sight of God if you stay home. You're going to leave church worse than the way you came. I thought it was good, Brother Paul said when he prayed this morning, maybe we'd be better by coming to church. That's my prayer early this morning, that God's holy word would speak to our hearts and we would be changed by the power of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Are you with me? Say amen. But here they were leaving worse than they came. And so this pastoral scolding, I'm telling you, this is how bad it is. Two times he mentions the church, three times he said, there says their sin here is happening when they come together, when they are at church. And so he's saying, you'd have been better off just staying at home if you're not going to be any better when you leave and be worse. Are you with me? Say amen. So as we look at this right here, there are several things that I want to draw your attention to. Notice, first of all, in your Bible, and please remember that the Lord's Supper is all about Jesus Christ. Look at the stern rebuke that the Apostle Paul gives here. Look in verse number 17. He says, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better, but what? For the worse. Paul rebuked the way these Christians were celebrating the Lord's Supper. He praised them in verse number 2. Look there with me about, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances I have delivered them unto you. The Apostle Paul taught this Corinthian church about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the customs of it. But when you come down to verse number 17, he says, I praise you not. The word there is a word that's a strong command than that he gives them. Now, how forceful is this? Here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, now in this Lord's Supper, I command you, I praise you not. His forcefulness stresses the awesome importance of the Lord's Supper and what it means to us. And so, listen, Paul abruptly states, you come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, not for the better, not to edify yourselves by remembering the Lord's death, but you come together for the worst to tear yourselves down. The rebuke was that they were constantly in that setting of the Lord's Supper, not edifying one another, not building one another up, not exhorting one another, but instead they were tearing each other apart. There was something going on constantly, and in that church life is when the members come together that they were, I'm gonna go on this a little bit further, but it seems like if you dig deep into this church, they were in a constant fuss. That's just a church fuss. They had their priorities all wrong. They thought they had their favorite preacher. They thought they had their favorite church members. They were full of immorality, and they were living it. They were loving it, and they forgot about when they come together in their church that we lay every selfish pride that we have outside the door and come inside the doors of God's house to worship Him in spirit and truth with a clean heart and a clean mind and a clean soul before God. Are you with me? Say amen. And so He gives them this stern rebuke. And you know what? The Bible says this in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 19. Jesus said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." The stern rebuke. But second of all, I want to show you the corruption of the Lord's Supper. The corruption of the Lord's Supper. Follow along with me down through verses number 18, down through verses number 22, as I'm going to begin reading there in just a moment. You see, they were tragically abusing the Lord's Supper. Now, the abuses may seem strange to our church today because they simply partake of a bread crumb and a small glass of wine or grape juice to celebrate the Lord's Supper. The Corinthians observed the Lord's Supper with a full-fledged meal that was known as a love feast. There were four abuses, some which were are almost unbelievable. But I'm going to divide them up for you right now. First of all, there were divisions and cliques within the church which corrupted the Lord's Supper. There were division and cliques within the church which corrupted the Lord's Supper. Look at verses 18 and 19. This is what God's Word says. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there may be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now listen carefully. Are you listening? Say amen. When divisions, when cliques, when factions, when sides exist, the spirit of a church is in disorder. Minds and hearts are not upon the Lord, nor at peace with the Lord's people. Disturbance, pain, anger, rumor, gossip, pride, selfishness, misunderstanding, and misrepresentation always prevail when there are divisions and cliques within the church. Now listen to me prayerfully and carefully right here. To understand what the Apostle Paul is saying here, he said he only believed part of what he heard. He knew full well how matters begin to grow and become surrounded with rumors, innuendos, exaggeration. However, there was the truth to what he had heard, and he knew it, and the church must correct it. When God's Word points something out in His Word about our church that we are not doing correctly and we're not going by the principles and the precepts of God's Word, God help us if we don't correct it. Can somebody say amen? God help us if we don't correct it. A clique, a faction lies, rumors, innuendo, and all them other things, I tell you, it will start out like a little sore on the end of your finger, but I'm telling you, if it's not dealt with, the hand will completely be corrupt, the heart will be corrupt, knowing good and well what God has called us to do, but here we are doing all these things opposite of what God's Word commands us to do. Are y'all with me? Say amen. God help us if we ever get to that spot as a church. Another matter that is special of importance for genuine believers in the church, divisions and cliques within the church do not catch God off guard nor by surprise. On the contrary, sometimes those things happen so that those things may be noticed by the leadership in the church to deal with those things, like Paul is doing right now. Are you with me? Say amen. He said in verse 19, there must be heresies. The word heresies, there's factions among you, that they which are approved, the tested, the genuine, may be made manifest. Here's the great thing. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God inserted that in there, that those that are there, those who are loving God, those, Brother Josh, who are serving God, those who are coming to church for all the right reasons, to learn from His Word, to grow in grace in the knowledge of the Jesus Christ, assembling themselves together, and even so much more as the day of the Lord approaches, coming together and worshiping when we leave the world outside and bring nothing but Christ in the inside. He said, I want them to be made known. Here's what I've learned down through the years in pastoral ministry is the people who want to cause factions and divisions in the church will eventually be caught up with. Are you with me? Say amen. You see, this is a great encouragement to all of us when genuine believers, and that happens in a church, a division, the cliques and the oppositions, and how it separates the carnal from those that are saved in Jesus Christ. Now, that just simply states by understanding, are you with me? Say amen. You see, the ones that have the knowledge and the wisdom of God in our hearts, be able to deal with that with love and kindness, the same compassion that God would show on us. Are you with me? Say amen. I could just go on from here and here and here and here and here and on about churches where just a little bitty things begin to cause factions among the church. Just over little bitty things. Carpet, the color of the carpet. God don't care what color carpet are you. We have. Y'all with me? Are y'all here? Our songbooks. God doesn't care what kind of songbooks we use as long as we're praising Him. Are you with me? Say amen. And the little bitty things that just people. But here's when those little bitty things, and I've done this before, I just shrug them off. Are you with me? I don't mean that to me, I just shrug them off. But I tell you what does mean a lot to your pastor, when people begin to come inside to my sheep and they want to cause trouble and they want to talk about somebody or talk down about somebody. I'll tell you what just disturbs your pastor, when people want to come in and try to teach something other than thus saith the Lord in God's Word. And I tell you, that bothers me. And it should. But I ain't put up with it. Are you with me? Say amen. Y'all still good? The Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that y'all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I got a lot of verses here. I'm going to read one from Ephesians 4, 3. It says, endeavoring, listen to this, what Paul said to the church at Ephesus. He said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. My dear friend, that's your job. That's my job. The endeavor means we work at it. Are you with me? That if we don't work at it, the devil can start anywhere and anyone to tear down the work of the Lord. Let me give you one more. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be you all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. My dear friend, that is what it is. We love because God first loved us. And here's the way that I feel about it. I love all y'all with the love of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Say amen. No more and no less. And I'm going to love you whether you drive a Volkswagen or Cadillac. I do not care. I don't care if you live in a $1 million house or a trailer park. I'm going to love you because God says that we should love the Lord God with all the heart and all of thyself and love thy neighbor. That is the second and greatest most commandment. Are you with me? Say amen. Because here's what I believe. When you and I are loving Danny, we just like Jesus Christ. Loving regardless of what happens. I even love my Alabama fans this morning. Are you with me? Say amen. Is that all I could get out of you? But not only that, there was self-deception which corrupted the Lord's Supper. Look at verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Simply stating the Corinthians were only deceiving themselves in coming together in partaking of the cup and the bread. They may have thought they were celebrating the Lord's Supper, but my friend, they were not. They were utterly deceived. What they're doing was not remembering and honoring the Lord, and it was utterly impossible to have a divisive and cliquish spirit and honor the Lord. You can't do them, coach. Listen, we come together in the Lord's Supper. We come in one heart and one mind, all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. All about Him. The Bible says in Galatians 6:3, for if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man, religion is in vain. Let me read a couple of more. Revelation 3, chapter 16 and 17. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich. Listen now, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. Psalms 36, 2 says, for he that flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Because of their selfish attitude, Paul says, you may be breaking some bread and passing a cup, but it is anything besides the Lord's Supper. When you come to the service only for what you can get out of it, it is anything but biblical worship. Are you with me? Say amen. There was selfishness. Number three is there was selfishness and neglect of others, which corrupted the Lord's Supper. Look at verse number 21. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. When this church came together for their love feast, everyone brought all the food they could. It was like having a Baptist casserole party. Are you with me? This provided plenty for everyone, including the poor and the slaves who would not be able to bring much. The whole idea was to have a common meal where everyone could share. The rich and the poor, the Jew and the Gentile, the upper, the lower class, the adult, the child, the free, the enslaved, the educated, the uneducated, the male and female, where everyone could be a part of the church. That's the way I feel about it, don't you? Do you feel that way? Where we all could have a part. However, the Corinthian church had begun to abuse this supper. Instead of sharing, everyone set off in their own little group, friends, and shared their food with only themselves. This is tragic, isn't it? I could just see them sitting over in them little groups and all these poor people wanting something to eat. That just troubles my heart. Some were neglecting, having little, if anything, to eat. This would be particularly true among the slaves that were prevalent. Some were indulging, acting as gluttons. Some were treating the affair as a social gathering. Here's another thing. Off to the side, they were even actually drinking, and some were getting stone drunk at the Lord's Supper. Are y'all with me this morning? There was no real Christian fellowship whatsoever. While they were celebrating this feast, it was all for them, selfishness. Now listen to this. Are you with me? Say amen. It is very hard to serve Jesus with a selfish attitude. Am I right, Brother Josh? You can't do it. Because why? Because it's not about me. And if it becomes all about me, then we forget that it's all about who? Who? All about Jesus. The problem is not primarily that they were sinning. The problem is they were sinning without repentance. That's crazy, isn't it? And last of all, there was abuse of the sanctity of the church and the shaming of the poor, which corrupted the Lord's Supper. Look at verse number 12. Paul asked the question, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? I think Paul's speechless, don't you? Brother Josh, when he heard this, he's just left speechless. I've been there as a pastor, hearing about things, and I'm just speechless. What shall I say unto you? I shall praise you in this? No, I praise you not. Notice this verse is a series of questions that answer them sales. And I think they answer the sales, Brother Larry, to stir conviction among the church at Corinth. Do you not have houses to eat and to drink? The church is not the place where to eat and to drink. It is a place of worship. Are you not abusing the church and shaming the poor through your divisions, your cliques, your fractions, your selfishness, your indulgence, and your whoredoms? Of course you are. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. One of the best ways that you and I and make sure that we leave church better than the way we came is to make sure somebody else leaves better than they came. Are y'all with me? To pour your life into someone else's and to minister grace and peace to them. The blessings that we have not even yet to receive from God's hand to us. Let's pray together.